I think everybody in this locker room wants to be a good team, wants to win. So I ain't really for all that rah-rah stuff. We lost. Figure it out. We're not here for moral victories.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today there was so much stuff going on in the NBA. We had 11 games. We're going to look through all of that, whatever sort of information we need to glean for fantasy, for season-long stuff. There are three games on tomorrow with the remaining five teams that haven't played all in action. So we're going to be previewing those games, giving the lines of the night. Me, I'm sure, talking about some shitful coaching decisions and performances. All that great stuff coming up for you. So, Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Just one quick thing I do need to mention before we actually do get to it, Michael. Sorry for the delay. Is that over the last few years or so doing this podcast and doing fantasy basketball work, my following, especially on Twitter, has grown pretty well. Now I thank everybody who has been a part of that growth. But the way things are at the moment in terms of my Twitter followers, I get so many, and now the season started, it is literally overwhelming the amount of notifications that I'm getting. So I'm sorry that I cannot reply to everybody. Like today, literally, the day is not finished. I've had like 1,000 notifications through on Twitter, and I just can't possibly answer all of those questions. So many of them are the same question. Do I add this? But it's specific. My league, do I add this guy for this guy? Do I add this guy for this guy? And I just physically don't have that. In addition to doing this podcast, I've got to do all my work for Basketball Monster and monitor that side and make all those adjustments all day. I don't actually have the time to go through, and I do apologize for this. I wish I was able to find the time to be able to respond to every single person's question. I'll try and put out more general sort of statements, but I can't go through and say, is this trade good? Or I made a trade. What's it like? Rate my team. I can't get to all these. So I do apologize. But just the sheer volume of notifications and questions coming in is making it pretty tough for me to do that. But enough talking about how hard it must be for me to deal with all these notifications. Let's get to the bulk of this podcast, or the meat of this podcast, because we do have a lot to talk about, because there were 11 games. There were 22 teams in action. Let's start off by looking at the best performance of the night.
Monstrous line of the night.
This is going to be a pretty regular fixture, I would imagine, for this season. The monstrous line of the night goes to, of course, it's Anthony Davis, and we're going to see that time and time again this season. He was the number one player last year. He started off the season as the number one guy. He was the guy I wanted in drafts at number one. He eviscerated the Houston Rockets, 32-16, 8 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. Now, his block and steal numbers were through the roof in the second half of last season once DeMarcus Cousins left. I wasn't sure he was going to be able to keep them up, especially the steal numbers. Well, he did in this game, but 8 assists? Where the hell did that come from Anthony Davis? 13 of 21 from the field, 6 of 7 from the free throw line. An absolute monster once again. Again, I mentioned this a couple of days ago that I did get into discussions with people when someone asked me who they should pick number one. I said Anthony Davis, and multiple people, man, you got to pick LeBron. Like, what? No, I'm good. I'll take Anthony Davis at number one. And one game doesn't define anything in a season, as we're going to talk about all through this show, is don't panic, don't overreact to one game. But this guy's bloody good, and he was your monstrous line of the night. I don't think anyone would have too many arguments about giving that to Anthony Davis for today. If your company is looking for a new way to reach customers, you could be mentioned right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcast. Our demographic is 98% male and more educated, and earns more money than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor the podcast. Email me at redrockfantasybasketball@gmail.com to discuss how you can get your business out to a ton of people who are looking to spend some money. Let's go on to the next award of the day. We're talking waiver wire.
Waiver wire line of the night.
The waiver wire line of the night is Malik Monk of the Charlotte Hornets. I talked about Monk quite a bit in the offseason, in the preseason, how he had an opportunity, but it looked like Jeremy Lamb had won that starting job and won it pretty comfortably. And Lamb did win the starting job. But when push came to shove, and this wasn't the case throughout the preseason at all, Malik Monk was the guy getting all of the minutes at shooting guard. Lamb played 20-odd minutes only. Monk was over 30 there. A real surprise to see that happening. We saw Monk really turn it on at the end of last season in April when everyone was out and thought, oh, well, there's a little bit of the Aprilnesses about that, of no one else around, people not trying. But he came out and did it when it counts. 18 points, 4 threes, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. The good thing is, and we'll talk about that with some other players, is this line, it didn't come on the back of 80% shooting. It didn't come on the back of something completely unrealistic. I can look at that and go 18, 4, and 2 with a steal. The 2 blocks are weird, clearly. 4 threes, 44% shooting. Yeah, that can be something that continues to happen. I'm not sure about the 34 minutes, but there's an opportunity there clearly for him playing alongside Kemba Walker. Now, a big part of this was the Bucks were up big early, and then the unit led by Monk really started to get back. So I'm not sure that he's going to be able to maintain this level of playing time, but I think that he's someone that in every single 12-team league, you need to be looking. Now, your team might be really strong, but if you've got someone at the end of your bench who isn't maybe performing, if you've got Jeremy Lin, I'd make that trade in a second to get Lin out and get Monk in, because what we saw from Lin today wasn't spectacular. Now, Lin can still be good, but you know, I like that upside we're seeing from Monk. A really, really strong performance. It's not going to be this good every night. The 34 minutes may be a little bit of a mirage. I wanted to use a different word there, but I don't think there's a word called mirageness or mirageacity. That's not a word, but there was a little bit of that about it. But we could see him getting this job off Jeremy Lamb. Now, if you drafted Jeremy Lamb, would I make the switch for Malik Monk? I'm not sure that I would just yet. I'd probably want to see it one more time. But in this first week of the season, lots of weird stuff happens. You get these guys off the waiver wire, but people also make weird drops that do come back to bite them in the ass later in the season. So is Jeremy Lamb going to be one of those guys? I don't think his upside's actually high enough to be that if you dropped him, you go, oh man, I missed out on Lamb. I dropped him, so dumb. He was a top 90 player, and I don't think that's too bad. Now, what's Monk's ceiling? Is it top 70, perhaps? Is it top 40? Maybe not, but it was a really, really positive showing from Malik in this game, and you would think that the 34 minutes won't be there, I don't think, every night, but definitely an impressive performance from Malik Monk. Let's look at the deep league player of the day. It goes to Terrence Ross, Big Terry of the Orlando Magic. One of the weirdest lines you will see. 4 points on 2 of 9 shooting, but 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. I think we can chalk this one up to 100% fluke. Terry Ross is not going to be getting you 6 steals and blocks combined. Oh, shit, if you came to me at the end of the season and said, Josh, amazingly, Terrence Ross did not get 4 more blocks for the rest of the season, I'd probably go, yeah, sounds about right. He had 4 blocks on the opening night with 4 points, just one of the weirdest lines of the entire day. The minutes were okay. They weren't fantastic. It wasn't something where you go, oh, I've really got to take notice of Terry Ross here. He played 26 minutes, didn't shoot the ball well. John Isaac was limited by foul trouble, which did enable him and John Simmons to have a boost in their playing time. So I'm looking at it. Apparently his ownership percentage on Yahoo is 0. So that's very interesting that he's not owned there. So he's available in deep leagues and he's clearly a part of the rotation. So 20 teamers, 18 teamers, maybe 16 teamers. You could have a look at Ross. But so much of this value from today from Rossi is based on those weird defensive numbers, which he isn't going to be able to continue to get. Now, I talked about his block numbers. He only played 24 games last year. Blocked 11 shots the year before that. He blocked 33. The year before that, he blocked 25. So yeah, those are block numbers. They're not going to stick at that sort of level. Pretty confidently, I'm pretty confident in saying that.
Young gun of the night.
This goes to the number one overall draft pick, DeAndre Ayton of the Phoenix Suns. He had 18 and 10, and like Anthony Davis, he's dishing out the dime. 6 assists, a steal and a block, 8 of 11 from the field, 2 of 2 from the free throw line. An impressive performance from Ayton. It wasn't his greatest performance. He can still get better from there. He definitely wasn't the star of the show. That goes to Devin Booker. But a strong, strong performance from Ayton. Encouragingly, he played 36 minutes, and there were some pretty big minute numbers right across the NBA today, which was really interesting to see. Rookies getting huge minutes out the gate, unless you're in Sacramento, of course. So Ayton, yeah, we talked about how he was rising and rising and how the rankings for him were ridiculous at the start of draft season. They're outside the top 100, which made no sense. I pegged him as a top 50 guy. He's clearly on the path for that at the moment. He was pushing into the third round by the time the drafts were happening just before the regular season. And in the end, that might even be, you know, a conservative number, because he is going to put up rebounds. He's going to get massive opportunities. and the efficiency is going to be there. Just don't count on those assists coming in that sort of a level anyway. Or I don't think so. We'll see though.
Oh, no!
Wrong button. I tell a man's not hot. That's the one. We're talking dud of the night, and it does go to the player who was picked one spot directly after DeAndre Ayton, and that is Marvin Bagley III in Sacramento. It's not all on him. It's his coach who is an absolute numbnuts. Dave Yeager, 12 minutes for Marvin Bagley, 6 points and five rebounds. I'm going to talk Kings a little bit more later. Bagley was not a guy I thought should have been a standard league player. He doesn't help you in field goal percentage, free throw percentage, poor steals, poor blocks, low assists, no threes, a points and rebounds guy. But if he's playing 12 minutes a night, he's not getting you points and rebounds. He is not a great fantasy option. That's why I had him, I think, as the seventh guy in Dynasty. And honestly, if I'm redoing it, maybe I even have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander ahead of him in that list. Not high hopes for Bagley. He is owned in 75% of leagues. If I own him, piss him off, I'd go grab Malik Monk or any of a number of guys that I am going to talk about in today's show. So Marvin Bagley is your dud of the night. And hopefully, he, for his sake and for Kings fans' sake, it was a shit pick at the time. It remains a shit pick. There's just so much nonsense going on with that team. Hey, they got off to a good start, so I'll give them that in this game. Ended up losing to the Jazz. But yeah, some comments about Sacramento will be coming later on. The plus-minus GOAT and the plus-minus GOAT. Some absolute monster net ratings. These are players who played a minimum of 15 minutes. Juancho Hernangómez had the largest net rating of the day, plus 109.5 points per 100 possessions. That is huge. While the worst player from a net rating perspective was Darius Miller of the New Orleans Pelicans, who was a negative 95.1. Just shows you how wild some of these net ratings can be on a single game basis, but just something to illustrate some weird numbers that did go on across the first big night in the NBA. Let's look at some of the injuries that we had. TJ Leaf hurt his ankle. He was a part of the rotation. He wasn't really replaced, though, when he went down. He's not impacting much outside of very, very deep leagues. The Jedi.
Hello there.
OG Anunoby suffered a bruised orbital bone, got smacked in the face, so just a bruise under his eye around his nose area. Didn't play the last 7 or so minutes of that game. He did come off the bench. I thought for sure they were going to start him. Another one of these rotation weirdness things that did go on in the NBA. I don't think there's much need to be holding the Jedi in a standard league. He was always going to be, I guess, limited by the other players around him. And coming off the bench obviously puts a big cramp in that. While Devin Harris, he suffered a hamstring injury for the Dallas Mavericks. He says it's not too bad, but an old bloke getting a hamstring injury, you'd have to imagine he misses time. This helps someone like the Burner, Jalen Brunson, Ryan Brokoff, who played a few minutes there, and guys like Dorian Finney-Smith, who maintain some larger minutes when the pencil Harrison Barnes returns, if Devin Harris remains out, as we at this point expect him to be. Let's go on to look at these games now in a little bit more detail. I've got to go sort of get used to this this system of putting me in the little camera up the top there for those of you watching along on YouTube. Let's go to the first game of the day. It's the Brooklyn Nets and the Detroit Pistons. A big win for the Nets. Got it to a big start. The Pistons clawed them back and won it in a close match. Now, Caris LeVert, I've got to touch on him. He's owned only in 65% of leagues. He needs to be owned in every single league. I think he is the best player on this team. He had 27 points with 4 rebounds and 4 assists. A steal and a block. The shooting was a little bit red hot, 56%. He'll struggle there, but he can do everything. The minutes are going to be there. I think he's going to start even when Damari Carroll and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and the Blue Swimmer come back, because we remember all of those guys were out, along with Shabazz Napier. So all those guys were out, but LeVert, 34 minutes, big performance. He is a must-own player in 10 and 12 team leagues. He's a top 100 guy, probably going to be close to a top 80 sort of guy, I think, when all is said and done. Jumpin' Joe Harris also benefited, 13, 6, and 5. More, look, that's nice. The rebounds and assists are nice there from Harris, but he's going to hurt more when those other players come back. Well, Jarrett Allen, 30 minutes. That's what we want to see. 17 and 10, 4 blocks for Big Jarrett. Looked great. A sensational block of Blakey Griffin at the rim. Only had 2 points in the second half, but hit 2 threes, weirdly enough. So that's something for us to pay attention to. Hitting 2 threes as a big man, and then still going 60% overall from the field. Really strong. He had a monster block rate in the second half of last season and has kept it up. A real interesting sleeper type guy who was adjusted on some sides and not on others. I thought maybe the hype was pushing a little bit too far, but if he maintains 30 minutes, he'll be a top 50 guy, no doubt about that. D'Angelo Russell sat down at the end of the game, didn't play the final 18 minutes of this game. 25 minutes in total, 8-2-5. So Spencer Dinwiddie went 23-4-6 in 32 minutes. We saw this happen quite a bit with Russell at the end of last season, and almost invariably the next game he'd go back and play 29 or 30 minutes and Dinwiddie had played 21, and I get the feeling that's going to be the case. I don't think that Dinwiddie's going to come in and start taking 32 a night and Russell's only going to play 24, but there will be the occasional one of these games, maybe once 1 in 4, maybe it's 1 in 5, where Dinwiddie gets 30 and Russell gets 24 or so. I think that will happen, but I don't think it'll be a regular occurrence, and I'd be fairly confident in saying that Russell will play more than Dinwiddie in the next game. Dinwiddie's a fine guy to go and add and see what happens, but yeah, prioritizing him below LeVert, clearly below Malik Monk, and a few other guys that we'll talk about as well. Jared Dudley started, played 36 minutes. I cannot believe he played 36 minutes. He had 1 point. 3 steals is pretty interesting, but of course, with Carroll and Hollis Jefferson both out, when one of those guys or two of those guys return, then you'll get Dudley moving out of the rotation. The Nets injury reporting is a real pain in the ass. Yeah, Damari Carroll practiced apparently and then had surgeries out indefinitely. Rondo Hollis-Jefferson hurt his groin 2 months ago. That's nothing. It's only small. Still not back. So there's obviously a little bit of a worry there. I'd still hold on to Rondo, and of course Damari is not a standard league player. On the Pistons, Andre Drummond, 24 and 20, fantastic. He hit a 3 of 4 from the line, fantastic. But one of those things that really boosted him last year were the assists, and that's what we want to monitor with Blake Griffin around, only 2. He was at like 4, 4.5-ish type numbers with before Griffin arrived in Detroit last season, and it's going to limit what he can do, but you're never going to turn down a 24 and 20. Griffin had 26, 8 and 6. Strong from both of those. Reggie Jackson, I've talked about it ad nauseum on this podcast. It's Stan Van Gundy. He's got two nonsense rules in his head. One of them is you can't play rookies, and the second one is point guards can never play more than 30 minutes a night. Reggie Jackson, who was still dealing with ankle injuries in the preseason, came out and played 35 minutes on the opening night. 19-2-4, and I did say that I think that the Jackson was going to get a bigger boost this season playing for Dwayne Casey. Didn't expect it to be 35 minutes on opening night, but it's an encouraging thing, and if he's on your wire, you go and have a look. Now, again, priority-wise, probably behind LeVert, but I'd likely have him ahead of Malik Monk in most cases. Now, the Pistons had no... worried about who's going to be the starting wings for the Pistons. Oh, it's Bullock, it's Stan Johnson, they've won the job, and they're both out injured. So we had Luke Kennard start, and weirdly enough, the Shark, Bruce Brown, got a start at shooting guard. He didn't do much at all. He only played 19 minutes, while Kennard only played 19 minutes as well. That's ridiculous. Kennard needs to play more than that. He was 7 points on 5 shots, 60% shooting. He can do more than that. While we had Ish Smith playing 29 minutes and sharing the court a lot with Reggie, and it worked okay here. I don't think that's a long-term solution at all. While Glennie Robinson had 20 minutes there as the backup behind where Kennard was playing. Not much else to really report on the Pistons, I don't think. But that Smith-Jackson pairing, they did mention that they were going to do that. It happened. Still not a massive fan of it personally. Let's go on to the next game, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Charlotte Hornets. The Bucks just started out on fire. It was amazing what a new coach can do, or sorry, an actual NBA coach can do. But then the Hornets really fought back. I love the Hornets court. Yep, I asked the question and people were like, oh, I hate it. I don't know how you could hate it. I know this is going to sound weird because of the amount of like rants I go on this show, but I feel like I'm a relatively positive person. I can look at uniforms and courts and like, yeah, I like it, or not quite for me. I didn't understand people hating the Hornets court. I thought it looked really good. Their uniforms looked good as well. But let's talk Bucks and their fantasy numbers. Yanni, under 35 minutes. We did talk about this with Budenholzer, but in fairness to all of that, he was dealing with some foul trouble, had 5 fouls. The only Bucks player, though, to go over 35 minutes was Malcolm Brogdon, weirdly enough, and he played 38 minutes. But everyone else, Chrissy Middleton at 33, Eric Bledsoe at 34, Yanni at under 35. It's something to bear in mind. Antetokounmpo, great, 25 and 18 with 8 assists. They're nice, 1 block, but the percentage has really killed you. 58% on 12 attempts from the line is a disaster. 43% from the field is a disaster. He missed all of his 3-point attempts. Pretty good counting stats. little bit off on the efficiency numbers. Middleton was strong, 19-9, and Bledsoe 17-4-3. So a lot what we expected there. Didn't expect only 21 minutes from Brook Lopez while Ersan Ilyasova played 29. We know that Ilyasova is a favourite of Mike Budenholzer. I had him pegged for like mid-20s in minutes. He went over that. And another thing I didn't have pegged is that Dante DiVincenzo was going to be playing over Tone Snell and Sterling Brown out of the rotation. Now, I have maintained for years that Tone Snell is not good, so me and Coach Bud were on the same wavelength. I just wasn't expecting DiVincenzo, especially to come on the last play of the game as well as a defensive stopper. It was weird. 8 points, 2 triples. He's going to be in the rotation. He is absolutely a deep league ad, Dante DiVincenzo. As for Brogdon, 10-3-6 in those 38 minutes. I think he's a 14 or 16 team league guy. I just don't see him providing really any upside for 10 or 12 team leagues, but those minutes are obviously sexy. While my man Christian Wood found himself on the court for 5 minutes, but we had the Muppet still played 12. We had Lopez, we had Ilyasova, and Thon McCurr not playing. So, you know, Wood, we're talking about dynasty formats only. As for the Hornets, Kemba, 41 points with 7 triples until Anthony Davis came along. He was in line for the monstrous line of the night. 4 assists and 2 steals. Congratulations for him. 5-7-3 for Nick Batum. Almost the Richie Beno. 2 steals and 2 blocks. Did anyone get a Richie today? We'll have to stay tuned and see if we can find out. And the front court stuff was interesting. Now, I've ranted and raved on this show about Yahoo. Why do you have a default roster setting of 2 centers when the NBA doesn't even use centers? The Hornets were playing Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at center for chunks of time. You should never have a league with default 2 centers and 1 of every other position. And this is the reason the league is going away from that. Cody Zeller, 21 minutes. Bill Hernan Gomez, 12. Frank Kaminsky, out of the rotation. I did see somewhere, there was a website that I saw, won't mention which website. No, I'll mention it. It was CBS. They had 3 articles up talking about sleepers. Their 3 sleepers for this season were Frank Kaminsky, it was Tyler Johnson, and it was Mason Plumlee. Hopefully you didn't take that advice and draft those guys, because there was no way that was going to be the case. I don't know what those guys, and it was their, you know, it's computer simulation scenario that was putting out that out there. Kaminsky's shit house. He is just not getting anything done. Kidd-Gilchrist is not really going to be a standard league guy, while the 12 minutes from Bill Hernan Gomez is troubling. If you own Miles Bridges in standard leagues, I just don't think there'll be enough minutes for him. 1 point in 15 minutes. Again, that's the spot that you just piss off and you go grab one of these other guys. And as for Hernan Gomez, if they're going to go small like this, 12 minutes there and 21 for Zeller, then both Hernan Gomez and Zeller, they're fringe guys anyway. You probably don't want to hang on to those guys in the majority of situations. Let's go on to the next game. The Memphis Grizzlies and the Indiana Pacers. Go grab yourselves a beer. Go grab yourselves a wine if that's your shit. Go grab yourself a whiskey. Get some popcorn. Because this Memphis Grizzlies team is disgraceful. And I'm not bagging the players, but the organization and the coaching is ludicrous. There was the coaching search. It all starts with a coaching search. It wasn't a search. It was like, oh, JB, you here? You want the job? Are you going to be cheap? Oh, man, just have it. That was the coaching search. He is not an NBA caliber coach. The lineup decision, which I talked about yesterday, was bullshit. He actually did run out that lineup, which was Mike Conley, Garrett Temple, Chandler Parsons, Jermichael Green, and Marc Gasol. That's your starting lineup. But even on top of that, 30 minutes for Shelvin Mack. 30. You have got Dylan Brooks, the player who played the most minutes out of any rookie last season, out of the rotation, playing 6 minutes. Wayne Seldon, 6 minutes. Andy Harrison, 0 minutes. Marshawn Brooks, 22 minutes. And Kyle Anderson, probably the third best player on your team, only plays 19 minutes. The decision-making here is absolutely shitful from JB Bickerstaff. And they got their pants pulled down. They got multiple fists shoved up their ass. They got absolutely destroyed. And they deserve better. Memphis fans deserve better. This was just terrible decision-making. You don't go and add Garrett Temple. You don't add Shelvin Mack here. Now, Jaren Jackson, that's a nice start. 10-5, 3 steals and a block. He is a standard league guy. Now, as for Kyle Anderson, of those 1,000 notifications that came in, 200 were probably what do I do with Kyle Anderson. Now, we don't panic after one game. Remember, he was dealing with a heel/Achilles thing in the preseason and wasn't quite right. He is a guy who needs to be playing more than this. And at some point, if it was an NBA caliber coach, I would think common sense would kick in and he would get those minutes. But this was shitful. 5 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist in only 19 minutes. There is no situation that Kyle Anderson should be playing less than Marshawn Brooks or Shelvin Mack or Chandler Parsons or Garrett Temple or honestly, Jermichael Green as well, who had 9-7 with 2 steals. The only standard league guys at the moment guaranteed are Conley and Gasol, who were pretty solid. Jackson and then Anderson, I'm still holding, and it's going to be a tough look. If I had Kyle Anderson and Caris LeVert was around, It's a pretty bloody tough question at the moment, and I'd probably make the move and go and add LeVert just because I don't trust what JB Dickerstaff is going to do here. And yes, I deliberately mispronounced his name in a terrible attempt to use a pun. He's bad. These decisions are poor. It doesn't make any sense. And I don't know what's worse, the Kyle Anderson or the Dylan Brooks. Like, why are you not? Now, I don't think Dylan Brooks is that good. I don't think he's an NBA caliber starting player necessarily. Shout out to Justin Jackson. But 6 minutes is ridiculous. And if JB Bickerstaff lasts through October, even as a new coach, that's probably too long. Now, the Pacers, they just smashed. They killed them. So minutes are limited here. Oladipo, only the 26. Didn't have a steal or a block. And this is what I was worried about. Now, I'm not basing it on this game and thinking, oh man, Oladipo didn't have a steal or a block, mate. Never going to have one again. Not thinking that. But the worry I had was the 2.4, 2.5, whatever he's getting, 2.7 steals, whatever bullshit high number last year he was getting, really pushed him up to that 10th, 11th spot. If he gets two steals a game, that's a big drop. That's five or six drop spots down. Same with the blocks. I'm not worried about the minutes. The 16, 5, and 5 is nice. It was those defensive numbers which sway rankings quite significantly. So let's keep an eye on that. Thaddeus Young, 10 and 8, not a standard league guy, I don't think. Corey Joseph out of nowhere, 10 and 6, had a nice night, as did Boyan. But the interesting one there is the centers. Miles Turner, 20 minutes. Four blocks is nice, but 20 minutes? 8 points, 8 rebounds, while Domantas Sabonis played 29 minutes and had 14 and 15. Obviously, these guys are bringing different things. Turner had four blocks. Probably takes 2 months for Sabonis to get to four blocks. But this is why I was not keen on grabbing Turner in the third round or fourth round as people were. I had him outside the top 50, top 60 type of an area. I just worried that Sabonis was going to continue to cut in. Now, they did say they weren't going to play them together much. They did end up playing them together, but it wasn't a huge amount. And when Sabonis is on, he's going to keep taking away Miles Turner's playing time. And that's the worry. You're not dropping Turner. You can add Sabonis if you need rebounds, but his upside is limited by Turner and by the lack of defensive numbers as well. Well, Tyreek had a very Tyreek-y night, 14, 4, and 6 in only the 24 minutes. We also got the Doug McDirt special, 12, 1, and 1. Daz Collison, the most underrated ship bloke in the NBA, was terrible. 0 points with 5 assists, missed all 5 of his shots, and importantly played 21 minutes. I talked about this ad nauseum that Tyreek, I thought, was going to really hurt his value. It obviously happened. And those of you in deep dynasty leagues, Edmund Sumner, watch this guy. He missed all of last season with a knee injury. Watch him. I think he might be good. I don't think he's, I don't know, Dave DeFore, who you've probably seen around on Twitter. I think he still hosts a podcast. I can't remember what it's called. Apologies, Dave. I don't remember what your show's called. But he thinks he's going to be a star. I'm not quite there on Sumner, but he's very Spencer Dinwiddie-ish in that he fell to the second round because of a knee injury, and it's going to take some time. But just keep an eye on Big Ed over there for the Indiana Pacers. Next game we look at, the Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic. No Duke Wayne-Ellington, no Justice Winslow, no Jim Johnson, no Deion Waiters. So we thought with no Jim Johnson, fine, Kelly Linick will go and start, but Eric Spoelstra had other ideas, and he rolled out probably the most random lineup of the night to start off with. We had the Iron Shoulder starting. We had Joshy Richardson, but alongside those two guys and Hassan Whiteside, Scooter Magruder and Derek Jones Jr., while Kelly Linick sat on the bench. And I was worried, as soon as we heard that news, went, oh shit, I'm worried about a Linick's value now, because that's him and Bam both on the bench, and how are they going to get those minutes? Magruder started at power forward and played 32 minutes for 8-3-3. He is a deeper league sort of a guy, while Jones fouled out in 17 minutes and had 5-2-2. He is a guy that's improved. I'm not a massive fan, but he has improved a lot. Dwayne Wade on the race to the worst true shooting in the league, 9-11 on 23% shooting. Well, Bam Adebayo, man, he is going to be bloody good. 9-8. And Hassan Whiteside, this is huge for Whiteside, 34 minutes, 12-18 with 2 blocks. Is the conflict between him and the coaching staff resolved? Maybe. Because that's a real positive to get that much playing time. He did attempt a 3, he missed it. But that playing time, that could really easily vault him back into the top 40 or top 30 discussion. Quickly talk on Joshy Richardson, 26% usage, 21-5, 2 threes, a steal and a block. He is amazingly on waiver wires in places. Go and add him. He is the best player on this team considerably. He is a top 50 fantasy guy pretty comfortably. We talked about many times this offseason about him bumping his usage and bumping his usage. I didn't think it'd go this high, but shit, it's a good start. While the Iron Shoulder, strong from him, 26-4-4. As for Olynyk, he can go on the shit list as well. I'll be happy to cut him in standard leagues for one of these other guys. Upside is limited. So let's grab someone else. As for the Magic, as Gordon, another huge minutes night. Lots of these around the NBA. 38 for him, 26 and 16. Hit his shots well. And we know we have to look at this with Aaron Gordon. 50% from the field, 80% from three. Those numbers will not continue. His lack of steals and blocks limits him. This is a great sell high moment if someone is really enamored by Az. Knew it was going to be good. He's so young. He's going to develop. If you can sneak a top 25 or top 30 guy from the Az Gordon owner, I would do it because, again, I'm looking at this going, well, I know that that shooting's not going to continue. He's going to have a three-month stretch of shooting 24% from three, most likely. And even if that doesn't happen, he won't have any more stretches where he goes consistently 80% from three. But it was good from him. You also have to give props to Mo Bamba.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
He had two blocks. He had 13.7 rebounds, 25 minutes, shared the court with Nick Vucevic. 12, 8, and 4. That's promising. He is an add to me. An easy swap for Kelly Olynyk if that's an option that you've got. Really strong from Bamba. Playing them together, I don't love it. They won the game. So it was a positive. He had a great net rating as well, Bamba. DJ Augustine, 22 minutes, 11 points with 2 assists, while Jaren Grant played 26. This is something through the offseason I said, I think they're going to start Jaren Grant and give him more minutes. And then it became clear that wasn't the case. Well, they started DJ and played Jaren Grant more minutes. So I'm not really sure what to get out of that. Augustine is a low upside standard league player. So he's on your shit list as well. Move on from him to grab someone else. If you want Johnny Isaac, I'm holding him. Foul trouble limited him to 18 minutes, 6 and 6. Didn't have any of those sexy steals or blocks. Hold on there. Well, Johnny Simmons had 12 and 5 in 33 minutes. Some of those extra minutes came because of Isaac, while Evan Fournier also struggled with fouls. 4 fouls in 24 minutes and had 13 points. Wasn't the best Fournier night, but if someone drops him, I'd be okay with going and grabbing him, even though that performance was not the most exciting. Let's go on to the next game now. We've got the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks. The artist formerly known as Taurean Prince, he's going to have a sky-high usage, 21-6-6. Obviously, a must-own player. Somehow he's on waiver wires. Go and add him. While Trae Young, solid debut. Rookie, 33 minutes, 14-6-5. The field goal percentage, it's a problem. We know that. He will get steals occasionally, but the numbers are going to be fine. He should be a top 100 player pretty comfortably this season. The Wizard, Amari Spellman, only 8 minutes, but had a triple one. So that's something to bear in mind for deeper leagues. But he was behind Alex Poitras. And then when you get the Undertaker and the Baptist back, he probably won't be in the rotation. Jez Lynn, only the 14 minutes, 8 and 5. The upside for Lynn is a little bit limited, especially if they're going to go with Tyler Dorsey or they're going to give Bazemore more of those minutes. And of course, Trae Young. So that limits Lynn's upside, even though he has had top 100 finishes in 25 minutes. I'm just not sure while DeAndre Bembry. That's a real Bembry, that line. 2 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. That's what he can do, and just doesn't score. Alex Len battled foul trouble, stunned, 7 and 4 for Lenny in 21 minutes, while Vince Carter, starting at the age of 722, old Methuselah over here, 12 and 2 with 2 triples for Vince. And that's nice value in a deeper league, but of course his value disappears when those other guys come back, while Kevin Huerta out of the rotation along with the Wizard, only the 5 minutes there. Timmy Hardaway, a bit of a different start to the season than we saw from Tim last year, where he couldn't hit shit. 31 points here, 29 minutes, 46%, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, really strong. He's going to gobble up a ton of usage, as is Enes Kanter, who had 16 and 11 with a steal and a block. Strong numbers from those guys. Now Kevin Knox, the Fort, he came off the bench like Fizdale said he wouldn't, and then said he would. 10 points for Noxie, 2 steals and a block, 0 rebounds, piss poor efficiency. I know people love him. Looks like a good bloke. Could be a good bloke. Not sure he's a good basketball. Actually, no. I know he's not a good basketball player at this point. He could become one, but he's not. I don't think he's a standard league asset. Lance Thomas had foul trouble, 16 minutes. He started, don't know why. Ron Baker, 27 minutes for rugged Ronnie Baker. Legitimately, there was thought that he wouldn't make the roster. And he comes out and plays 26 minutes. And Alonzo Trier, the two-way guy, played 26 as well and had 15 and 4 with 2 blocks. Remember, though, Trier is a two-way player. So unless they cut Baker or cut Moutier or cut someone else, then Trier, once the G League season's gone, he's going to have 45 days and that's it. So he's not going to be able to play every night. Only 19 minutes for It's-a-Me Mario. Foul trouble limited him to 15 and 3 with 3 steals and 3 triples. That's why I like Mario Hezonja. That's what he did in Orlando. There is absolutely zero reason that he shouldn't be getting 27 minutes a night on this shit show of a team, even though they did spank the Atlanta Hawks. I'm not sure what that says about the Hawks. Well, Nila Kina had the most minutes on the team, 34, 5-5 with 3 steals. Strong from him, bad offense. And Trey Burke had 15 points in 21 minutes. Both of those guys, I think, are fringe-y, standard league type guys. Again, if they're probably going to be the worst guy on your roster. So if you wanted to drop them to grab a LeVert, to grab a Monk, to grab a Mo Bamba, I'd be okay with that. I just worry what their actual upside is for this season. Well, Mitch Robinson behind Noah Vonleh in the rotation. A big double-double from Vonleh. He is the Ed Davis of this team. Goes and grabs boards. That can be valuable. 1 minute only for Mitchell Robinson. There was a chance that he'd come in and be the immediate backup, play 18 minutes, get 2 blocks and be valuable. It's not happening at the moment. So, yeah, again, use that spot wisely and consider moving on from him. And we just wanted to see how that would go, and it didn't go the way that we hoped it would. Next up, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Toronto Raptors. They started Tristan Thompson and played him 27 minutes. They got spanked by the Raptors. 3 points and 13 boards for Thompson, while Larry Nance was actually out with that ankle injury. But let's talk about Chetty Osman, a must-own player, 29% in Yahoo. The other 71% of you guys, fingers out of arseholes and go and grab him. 17-10, 4 assists, 2 steals and 2 triples. I don't know how many times I've mentioned that Chetty Osman needs to be owned in leagues. I'll state it again. He is a must-own player. It is as simple as that. He is going to get minutes. He is going to distribute the ball. He can play defense. He can shoot. He can do it all. Georgie Hill, strong. 15-2-7. If I've got DJ Augustine, I'm switching for George Hill because Colin Sexton is not an NBA player at this point. 9-3 for Sexo in 18 minutes. He's just not good, and he won't be good this season. I don't think he is a standard league guy. What else? Kevin Love, 21-7. 34 minutes is encouraging from Love, as are the free throw attempts. The percentages are absolutely terrible. 28% on 18 attempts from the field and 71 on 14 from the line are not ideal. But the minutes of that's encouraging. 15 for Jordan Clarkson in 23 minutes, while Rocket Rodney had 12 points in 26. Not a 12-teamer for Clarko. Hood, borderline. Can he actually get better and be a top 100 guy? I do have my doubts. So if I want to stream that position, sure. On to the Raptors. You know you want it.
I'm a fun guy.
Yes. The most encouraging thing about Kawhi Leonard's line was the fact that he played 37 minutes. I talked about this, and this is why I said I think he can be a top 5 guy this season, because he won't play 33 minutes a night. He'll get 35. I didn't expect 37. He had 24-12, no defensive numbers, and was inefficient, but took a shit ton of shots, 22 of them, and he is going to... I don't do guarantees. He's going to be a top 5 player this season. Dan Green, no minutes limits. 33 minutes, 11-5. He went over the Richie Beno. 3 triples, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. This is top 40 Danny Green style. I think he's worth looking at owning, definitely, because he blocks shots and he will just continue to block shots. And I do want to mention something because, yeah, people will have this. Man, people, when they leave the Spurs, terrible. Everyone who leaves the Spurs out of that system can't do anything. It's beginning to be a little bit revenge gamey. Okay. Kyle Anderson, man, dropping him. Once you're out of the Spurs system, you can't do anything. Cool. Danny Green did all right. Kawhi did okay. People can do stuff as they go to the Spurs system. Or you could have the other way around. LaMarcus Aldridge joins the Spurs system and is considerably worse in his first season. So just remember, all of these tried and true narratives, they work some of the time. It's not a consistent thing. So Danny Green, out of the Spurs system, got better. Cool. The more minutes, still useful player, always the brunt of Popovich's rage as well. Serge Ibaka off the bench, really good defensive stuff, 2 steals and 3 blocks. If he's going to do that, he's useful, but the shot selection from him is atrocious, 2 of 10 from the field. I think he's a borderline 12 guy. Well, Jonas Valanciunas only played 20 minutes, that disheartens me. 12 boards with 6 points, I'm still holding, while Freddie VanVleet, love him long term, 14-2-5 in 25 minutes with DeLon Wright out injured. The next game we look at, we've got the New Orleans Pelicans and the Houston Rockets. We've talked Tone Davis, but let's talk my boy Nick Mirotic, 30-10, 6 triples and 3 assists. And I did put this on Twitter today, and if you follow me, you're going to get a double dose of it. Remember when the Chicago Bulls didn't think he was good? And I'm not talking about last season when Punchbob Shiploke ruined his face. I'm talking about all the times before where they would dick him around and not understand how to use Nick Mirotic. And every time he'd miss two shots in a row, he'd get benched for 15 consecutive minutes. He'd come off the bench. He'd be like, go stand in the corner and do spot-up shooting. The Bulls had absolutely zero idea how to use this bloke because he is bloody good. And I think the Pelicans are going to have four top 50 guys this season. Davis, Mirotic, Drew Holiday, and Julius Randle, who was great. 25-8. Did go to the locker room a couple of times, but he looks like he's okay. 25-8 in 24 minutes. Actually hit two triples, which is amazing considering he just never shot them in LA. Didn't like... I'll admit this. I wasn't a massive Julius Randle fan as a prospect in his first couple of years. Improved last season and hated the way that the Lakers treated him this season, and the Lakers spent that money on Rajon Rondo. So yeah, shout out to Rajon. Wasn't a good night from Drew Holiday. 10-3-8 with two steals, but the minutes are encouraging, and so are the minutes from Lord Alfred Payton. He had the fat face Ray Felton triple-double, the 10-10-10, but the 37 minutes is what I'm interested in. No Ian Clark, no Frank Jackson in the rotation. It was Payton and it was Holiday. They were your point guards. So that's an interesting development. Solly Hill and Darius Miller off the bench along with Randall. It was an eight-man rotation for the Pelicans. I would think that we might see Wes Johnson get in there at some point. But really that does boost that value. Same with Etwan Moore, who really had a good night. 21-3-2, but as I always say, what did it come on? 12 shots, 67%. Now, he's a good shooter. He's had a couple of 50% field goal seasons. He just doesn't do enough in those other areas, and that shooting's not going to stick at that sort of a level here. So I think he's more of a 14-team league guy. But impressive nonetheless from Etwan Moore. On the Rockets, Jim Harden almost triple-doubled, 18-9-10 with three steals. Chris Paul, 19-5-6. But PJ Tucker's the guy to talk about. 19 points, four triples, one steal, one block. Excellent in the preseason. I probably didn't talk enough about him. I think it's worth a look in a 12-team league. If he's going to take the Trevor Ariza sort of a role, which it seems to be he's doing, playing a ton of center. We had Isaiah Hartenstein only played 2 minutes. No Nene, no Chris in this game as well. So it was Capella and Tucker playing center. If he's getting 30 a night and being more involved offensively, he's worth looking at, I think. Eric Gordon, 21 in 29 minutes. Michael Carter-Williams, nothing to see there, while Capella had 8-8. And Jim Ennis, 25 minutes as a starter. Mello, 27 off the bench, and both of those guys struggled. Terrible shooting from Mello. Mello was fine as a last pick. I'll give him a couple more games. I think his upside is so low, though. If there is someone out there that you want to grab, say it is someone ludicrous on the wire, like Taurean Prince, like Chetty Osmond. A Carmelo Anthony for Chetty Osmond swap is as easy a decision as you'll find. Do it. That is simple, and Jim Ennis is not really happening for your old standard leagues. Let's go on to the next game. The old Minnesota Thibodeaux versus the San Antonio Spurs. Derrick Rose played 31 minutes. He took 12 shots. He hit three of them. He was dreadful. He had no steals, no blocks, no threes. 8-4-2, and he played 31 minutes, while Tyus Jones played 16 minutes. Tom Thibodeaux continues to suck. Jeff Teague was good, though. 27, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 32 minutes. Huh? Jimmy Butler, 32 minutes. Wow. 23-7 for Jim. 3 assists, 4 steals, and 1 block. He's going to be right around that end of the first round range, assuming he doesn't go somewhere where they really cut his minutes. Strong performance. Wigo, nice. 20-6 with 2 threes. But Karl Anthony Towns, I put some of the blame on him. I put some of the blame on Derrick Rose. I put some of the blame on Tom Thibodeaux. There's just so much passivity from him. Just get the ball. Foul trouble limited him to 22 minutes, and that made us see that, you know what, Woogie Jean can still actually play. 12-5 for Jeng with 2 steals and a block, but that'll go down to 12 minutes when Towns isn't in foul trouble. But that is a piss poor performance from Towns. 8-9 with 3 assists. Really, really disappointing from him. And I do worry about what Butler's going to do to him and what Thibodeaux is going to do. He is clearly not happy, and mental parts of the game, they become evident. And I think that might be the case. That's one game. I'm not overreacting too much, but if I could get Nikola Jokic for Karl Anthony Towns, I'd be pretty interested in doing that at this point. The Spurs, LaMarcus, big minutes. Another big minute night, man. 42 minutes, 21-19 with 3 blocks. That is huge. The efficiency was out the window. True shooting of 38%, but those other numbers are good. Rudy Gay, just the 23 minutes, but still 18-7. I'm happy with that. Bryn Forbes, 30 minutes as the starting point guard, 11-3 with 2 steals. It feels very DJ Augustin-y. He is not a passer. He is not a point guard. He is a shooter, and that's about it. So that's more 14-16 teamers. Or Jakob Poeltl started. He played 8 minutes and had 3 fouls. 4-4-2. Yeah, get someone else into that spot, use that spot for streaming. Millsy had 6 points in 30. He is not a standard league player either. While DeRozan, 28, 4, and 4, he hit a 3. He got to the line a lot, missed a lot of them, weirdly enough. 7 of 11 from the free throw line. No steals, no blocks. That's, I guess, about what you could expect from DeMar DeRozan. Hitting the 3 was a nice bonus. But again, I still think he's going to be in that 50 zone rather than the 30 to 25 zone that some people seem to think that he would be. Let's go on to the next one. It is the Utah Jazz. It's the Sacramento Kings. Jingle and Joe, man, this guy's so good. 22, 1 and 6, 4 steals, 4 triples. So efficient. He is just really good. 35 minutes for him. Gobert played 37, 19 and 15 with 3 blocks. Well, ravishing Rick Rubio. Wasn't the best night for the ravishing one. 22 minutes, 1 point. 2 rebounds, 4 assists and a steal. Now, this guy is as much of a second half specialist as anybody. I am still holding on. But now, along with Don Mitchell, we have Alec Burks and we have Dante Exum, who can really challenge Rubio. And Exum was great here. 13, 4 and 4. Looks, well, he is healthy, finally. A name to watch. He's only 2% owned, so 20 teamers, 18 teamers, 16 teamers. I'll grab Exum and let's just see where this goes, and I'll hold Rubio, but not an auspicious start. Royce O'Neal, only the 7 minutes, and it's again going to get harder for him to get playing time once Tarbo is back from his suspension. Well, Don Mitchell, shithouse to start off, but still ended with 24 points, 3 threes and 2 steals, inefficient. While Alec Burks, man, he is just continuing to do what he does. 13 points in 18 minutes, finally healthy as well. Another real string to the Utah Jazz's bow. Someone to watch. A great points streamer. Not really a 12-team league guy, but strong performance nonetheless. On to the Sacramento Kings. Not only did Dave Yeager say the other day when they started De'Aaron Fox, Frank Mason, Justin Jackson, Nemanja Bjelica, and Willie Cauley-Stein, this is probably going to be the starting lineup. You can read into that. Cool. Thanks. We're going to use a 9-man rotation. Cool. Thanks, Dave. And then the starting lineup came out. And the starting lineup was not that he said at all. It was something completely different. It was Buddy Hield. It was De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Justin Jackson, Marvin Bagley, and Willie Cauley-Stein. Printed out officially, given to the media. And then it was like, oh, sorry, we got the wrong one. That's actually not right. Nemanja Bjelica is back at power forward. Justin Jackson's off the bench. And Yogi Ferrell is starting. Yogi Ferrell. Buddy Hield started at small forward. And looked good, 19 and 6, a triple one, 32 minutes. Feel pretty good about Bud. De'Aaron Fox, 38 minutes, 21, 4 and 7, 3 steals. Feel really good about him as that late pick. Willie Cauley-Stein looked great, 38 minutes. Big minutes again for these guys, 23 and 7 with 4 assists and 2 blocks for Will. Bjelica, 18 and 8 in 27 minutes. More of a 14 teamer, but interesting enough, but Bagley, man, Jesus. Harry Giles, well, they said they were going to bring him along slowly. They weren't lying. 2 points in 10 minutes. And one thing we know, Dave Yeager hates rookies. He hates them. He hates him, he hates him, he hates him. I mentioned this so many times. No, man, Bagley's number 2 pick. He's going to get all the shots he wants, everything he wants. He won't. He's definitely not now. He might at some point. But Justin Jackson is not an NBA player. 8-2 with 2 steals in 31 minutes. When Bogdan Bogdanovic comes back, if he's not getting those 30 minutes that Jackson is, there's going to be a real issue. Yogi Ferrell had 12 in 30 minutes. But look, I'll give the Kings credit. They took it up to Utah early. They didn't get blown out. They looked strong, but still some confusing decisions. And as much as I don't think Bagley's that good and I don't think he was worth the number 2 pick, you got to give him more than 12 minutes. You got to give Harry Giles, who's looked like the best big man through all of preseason and all of camp, man, Giles is the best player here, he's tearing it up, 10 minutes. You got to do more than that. Iman Shumpert played 18 minutes. Iman Shumpert! Now, last season, Dave Yeager had Garrett Temple, who he could rely upon to screw everybody. Iman Shumpert, who hasn't played in 2 years, out of nowhere, comes out and plays 18 minutes and misses just a bunch of long twos. What's the point? Frank Mason, who was going to start, apparently, 5 minutes after a strong preseason. So just confusion all around with this team. And I guess it shouldn't be confusing because you should be expecting nonsense bullshit to go on with the Sacramento Kings most of the time. Let's go to the next game, the Dallas Mavericks. They got pummeled by the Phoenix Suns. Luka Doncic, NBA debut, 10, 8, and 4. Efficiency wasn't there. 30% usage is pretty interesting. No steals and blocks. He looked okay, but it wasn't obviously the best debut. Well, Dennis Smith had 13, 2, and 5 in 3 steals, and the efficiency a real issue. But both of those guys will be better than this. Wes Matthews, I'm not sure about this guy. 15 points with 5 assists. I think he's a borderline standard league guy, while DeAndre Jordan, 11 and 12, and Dorian Finney-Smith, 12 and 3, three blocks, really inflated his value, as did the absence of the pencil, Harrison Barnes. Jalen Brunson, interesting to see him in the rotation. Not sure that'll continue to happen. Well, it will, I guess, as long as Devin Harris is out. On to the Suns. Devin Booker, man, this is why I loved him as a second-round pick, as maybe a top 20 with top 13 upside. I don't know why I said 13. It's a random number. 35 points, 7 assists, 6 triples, 63% shooting. Took over this game late. He could be a top 10 player this season. I think that is a possibility. I said top 13. I'm reassessing. I think he can be top 10 at some point. Strong second-round guy. This is how they've got to use him. Put the ball in his hand, and it makes a difference having a competent coach there. Trevor Ariza also. 7 assists from Trevor Ariza. Has he ever done that in his career? Probably not. 21, 8 and 7 with 5 triples. That is massive from Ariza. Go and add him if you want. That's not going to continue, the shooting level or the assists, but bloody hell, that was good. Ryan Anderson continues to suck. Not a standard, not a 14-team league guy either. While Joshie Jackson had 18 points. Efficient, 75% from 3 and had 18, 2 and 3. And TJ Warren, even TJ Warren's hitting threes. 3 triples for TJ in 17 points in 24 minutes. So that's the worry there with Teej, is the 24 minutes only. And you know, will he continue to be as productive? I think he's a borderline. Like if him and Ariza are on the wire, I'll grab Ariza. If him and Jackson are on the wire, I'd probably grab Jackson. And I wouldn't grab Isaiah Cannon, who amazingly played 34 minutes, 8 points. 6 rebounds, 7 assists. Nice assist stream, but when Jamal Crawford is there for the next game, I think it's going to be Cannon that loses playing time. I think we're going to see Ali Okobo and his 8 minutes gone. Miles McCall Bridges didn't play apart from the last 11 seconds of the game. But yeah, some weird-ish decisions. Brett Dragan Bender, not in the rotation. TJ Warren really taking his place as the backup 4. So that's an interesting development there as well with Dragan Bender, who... Man, he just looks terrible. He just looks terrible. Simple as that. Last game of the night. Big win for the Denver Nuggets over the Clippers. Farton Will Barton, 19 and 5 with 3 triples, 35 minutes. Nick Jokic, 21, 8 and 5, and a triple one.
Pretty good. It's pretty, 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 pretty good.
And Gaz Harris.
No!
20 points for Gaz, 3 rebounds and 2 assists, and we're back to the old, let's start the season like a piece of shit, Jamal Murray. 7, 5, and 3 in 32 minutes and poor shooting. Don't drop him. But people were worried about Murray. Oh, Barton's going to take the shots. Isaiah Thomas is coming for his job. Just send a ballsy buy low offer. Send it. Send it out. Who's someone you can send out there that, anything, any low-ish player. Send Josh Jackson out there for him. Send Wes Matthews. Send Rick Rubio, if not that's necessarily a buy low. Send it out there and see how you go with getting him back for Jamal Murray, because he will be better than this. Trey Lyles, I thought, how is he going to get these minutes that they're claiming he's going to get? Well, the answer is he won't. 19 minutes, 10 and 7, as Juancho Hernangómez got the backup small forward minutes. I thought for sure that Michael Malone's boyfriend, Torrey Craig, would get that playing time. He didn't. 5 and 6 with a triple one for Juancho. No Torrey Craig in the rotation, and Trey Lyles limited to those 19 minutes. So Lyles was a trendy flyer type pick. You move on from him in 12s and probably 14 leaguers as well. My man Monty Morris looked good again, and I worry that when Isaiah Thomas is back, it's going to impact Monty. Now onto the Clippers. Toby Harris, 19 and 10 with 3 blocks. That's fine, but everyone wants to know about Boban. Over the 1,000 notifications I got, another 200 of those were probably about Boban, and I did mention this yesterday. Boban kills the Nuggets. He kills him. He kills Jokic all the time. 18 and 8 in 18 minutes. 6 of 6 from the line. 6 of 8 from the field goal line, from the field. The next game the Clippers play, there is a larger likelihood of Boban not playing at all, not playing a single second, than repeating that, I believe. I know Roto World is massive on Boban, and they're all about go and grab him. Personally, I'm not. I've seen this story way too many times. Now, DeAndre Jordan is not here, and Marcin Gortat is not good. So Boban has an opportunity, but historically, he just kills the Nuggets. He just absolutely destroys them in pick and roll, and then he struggles against other teams who really just take him out of the game pretty quickly, and I fear that that's going to be the case. There's so many options on the waiver wire at the moment that I'd be prioritizing lots of them above Boban. But yeah, you look at him in a deep league, and this is different because Gortat's past it. He is not a standard league guy. Piss him off. 6 and 6 in 18 minutes. The table, Montrezl Harrell. only 16 minutes, 6-5 with 2 blocks. But I think you'll find that Harrell will play more than Marjanovic in the next game. The third best player on this team, fourth, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 28 minutes, 11-2-4, a steal and a block. I'd add him. I would add him over Boban, no problem. 28 minutes in your first night. Patrick Beverley did deal with foul trouble, so that bumped Shai a bit. But Doc Rivers talked so highly of him, and he said before the game, he's going to get 20 minutes, I guarantee you. And he got more than that. Avery Bradley still looks terrible. Not a standard league player. Lou Williams, 24 minutes. We said that Lou wouldn't get the 33 that he got last season. I wasn't expecting this. Still had 14 points with 5 assists, but Shai, man, he is bloody good. The Rooster, 34 minutes, 16-8, 4 triples. Make sure Gallinari is owned. When his ass falls off, you can drop him. But for now, you own him. And as for Pat Beverley, the fouls are an issue. Gilgeous-Alexander's an issue. 0.6 assists in 20 minutes. He's not a must-drop guy because people generally aren't must-drops anyway. But he's on the chopping block for sure, and I'd like to see exactly what happens in that next game. Miloš Teodosic, an inactive player despite being healthy, which is a little bit of a surprise, I believe. All right, let's where are we? Let's move on to the next part of the show when we're going to talk some good old DFS. Let's go with the perfect DFS lineup on DraftKings. Malik Monk, 34. Timmy Hardaway, 51.5. Chetty Osman, 40.5. I was all about Chetty yesterday in DFS, so hopefully you got on that. Trevor Ariza, 46. LaMarcus Aldridge, 56.25. Lord Alfred, 43.5. Mirotic, 51. Tone Davis, 77 for a total of 399.75. And that cost $49,600 on... on FanDuel, where is my little thing there? There it is. For FanDuel, Kemba 52.4, De'Aaron Fox 42.3, Terry Ross 31.8, Timmy Hardaway 51.7, Chetty Osman 38, Ariza 44.1, Tone Davis 80.2, LaMarcus Aldridge 56.8, and Jarrett Allen 39, a total of 436.3 for $59,800 dues. Let's talk about these matchups. It's a three-game slate for Thursday. The first one of these is the Chicago Bulls making their 2018-19 NBA season debut against the Philadelphia 76ers. The Bulls have confirmed they will be starting PunchBob Shiploke and Wendell Carter Jr. Seasonal league guys, go and add Wendell if he is available. Add Bob Portis as well. The Sixers are favored by a massive 11 points. The total is 215. 11.5, sorry, for the Sixers. I do like the Bulls here at that plus number. Jabari coming off the bench. The Sixers will be looking to come in and pound what is going to be one of the worst defenses in the NBA. We're going to be focusing on DraftKings pricing for today's show. Mike Muscala is listed as doubtful. And then for the Bulls, you've got the Hammer, Denzel Valentine, who is questionable, while Justin Holiday will start at small forward alongside Zach LaVine and Chris Dunn. For the point guards, Markel Fultz is down to 4,500. They've dropped him after that performance where he had just the 12 points last game. I think he can be better. The quality in opponent is going to be a lot kinder on him here. So I think he is, again, three games late. I think he is a tournament type of a player here. Gets 26, 27 minutes. He could easily have 25 points against these Bulls, but not going to rely upon him in cash. Well, Simmons at 9,500, that's just, you smash the shit out of that. 9,500 for Ben Simmons on DraftKings. He is an absolute cash lock to me over there. While LaVine, listed point guard, shooting guard eligible, 6,400. I like that quite a bit as well. I think LaVine's going to, we know he's going to chuck shots. I like that. He's been pretty strong throughout the preseason. Then Chrissy Dunn at 6,600. The Ben Simmons defense on Dunn, that price, it worries me a little bit with Chris, so I think I'm going to put him more as a tournament guy. You've got Landry Shamet, Campaign, Antonio Blakeney. Nothing there. Shooting guards, JJ Redick, 5,100. Don't really feel that strongly about JJ. Second half, starting the second half off the bench in the first half, not a ton of upside. Well, Justin Holiday at 4,300, just an inefficient chucker. Can occasionally get some big nights going, but tournaments only, don't feel super strongly about Justin. While the Hammer is at 43, Denzel Valentine, no interest. Small forward, Bob Cubs at 4,700. That is very, very cheap for Robert Covington. I'm all about that. He can be streaky, no doubt, but 4,700 is just a ludicrously low price on DraftKings, so I'm all about him there. Jabari Parker, 5,200. Strong game in the last preseason encounter coming off the bench. Played well, passed the ball well, initiated, point forward. That's interesting. I think he's absolutely worth a look as a tournament, and you might even consider him cash at 5,200. given that role he's playing off the bench. Dario Saric, 5,500 for Dario. It didn't quite live up to that in the first game. I'm not going to be going back to that well here with Dario. For the power forward eligible players, no one else is really listed specifically as a power forward, so let's talk centers. Wendell Carter Jr., it's a terrible matchup for him against Embiid, but at 4,200, it's pretty hard to go past him there. I wouldn't be looking at Robin Lopez, but 4,200 is pretty bloody cheap for Wendell Carter, and I'm all about him on DraftKings, especially for your tournaments, whereas Embiid, sub 10,000, 9,700 against a rookie. Let's go, Joel. I am all about it. That is him and Simmons, 95 and 9,700 are absolute smashable numbers. Punch Bob's at 5,700. I think that his reliance on high volume and high percentages with lack of defense does make him more of a tournament guy. I'm not super enamored there. Lopez and Amir Johnson are guys that, of course, we're not going to get super intrigued about. Over on the old FanDuel, much the same. I think that Simmons and Embiid are really strong cash guys. The value's not quite as strong. 10-8 for Embiid, 11 for Simmons. I like Levine for cash. And then you've got Covington, not as appealing. Wendell Carter, not as appealing, but still tournament options. Same with Fultz, who comes in at 5,700 over on FanDuel. Let's go to the second game of the night. We're talking about the Miami Heat and the Washington Wizards, the first back-to-back of the season. Miami back-to-back on the road after playing or losing to Orlando yesterday. The Wizards are Wizards plus 4.5. I don't know why I wrote that. They're minus 4.5. The Wizards are favored in this game. The total is 212. I don't think that Dwayne Wade will play. I don't think that Wayne Ellington will play. I don't think that Justice Winslow, James Johnson, or Deion Waiters will play. I think he'll have all of those guys out. So there's going to be some opportunities opening up for Derek Jones Jr. and Rodney Magruder and players like that. Also, without Wade there, who played 26 minutes in that first night, I think Tyler Johnson is someone we look at. He is at 3,800. Actually, that's FanDuel, and we're not starting with FanDuel. But we'll get to that in a sec. We're on DraftKings for the point guards. Johnny Wall at 8,200. I love Wall at that price. That's pretty strong. You've got your debate between him and Simmons as to which point guard you want, but I love Wall's ability at 8,200. He should be staring 50 points in the face here. Then you've got Tyler Johnson at 4,100. I don't feel as strongly about Tyler on DraftKings as I do on FanDuel, but 4,100 with the assumption that Dwayne Wade is out, I'm about it. While the iron shoulder, Goran Dragic, is at 6,000. He played well today. Still only had 30 points, so that 6,000 is not a great number with some other pretty good options out there. Austin Rivers and Thomas Satoransky will leave out of it. Brad Beal, 6,800. Yeah, let's go. That is a great mid-priced guy to have a look at there for Braddles. Love that for 6,800 against this Heat team who is missing guys. Well, Joshy Richardson, still 6,200. Lock that in. That is cash. He killed it today. Had 34 points. Brought that value home for you. Scooter Magruder, 3,900. Strong-ish game, but still only tallied the 18 points. I think he's more of a tournament guy, not a high stat guy. While Kelly Oubre at 4,200, I'm out on Oubre. Derek Jones Jr. is at 3,400 on DraftKings. Should get another start. Shouldn't foul out in 17 minutes, so that makes him a tournament option at 3,400. You've got Markieff at 5,000. Absolutely zero idea why he is listed as a small forward. He hasn't played small forward since his rookie year, I think. I'll leave Markieff alone, assuming that Dwight Howard plays, because if Dwight is out, then I am more interested in Markieff at 5,000, and I'd even consider him maybe for cash in that scenario. At power forward, we've got Yante Maten. I think that's how you say it. Probably 100% wrong. I think he might get some minutes, but not all that interested there. But the centers is where it's at. Howard at 5,900. I love that for a tournament. Assuming Dwight plays, that's a real cheap price. Well, Hassan Whiteside, 7,000. That probably solidifies in cash if Howard happens to be out. And then, of course, if Dwight is missing, you've got Yan Mahinmi, who is still priced at 4,600. I'm not super into Mahinmi. I don't think that's really tremendous value. You've got Bam at 4,900, who played well today, but didn't actually make back that salary. And I think it might be tough for him to do it again. Well, Olynyk at 6,100 is there. We'll be leaving that alone after today's disaster with Big Cal. On FanDuel, I mentioned Tyler Johnson already, 3,800. Richardson at 69, Dragic at 62, and Johnny Wall at 96. The pricing, again, a lot tighter on FanDuel. Whiteside looks strong. Adebayo, 43. All about Adebayo at 43 on FanDuel. And Beal at 82 has some pretty nice tournament-type upside over there. The last game of the night, the Trailblazers and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Blazers, they were favored by 1 point, and that's gone out to -3.5. They're a -3.5 at the moment, so that's interesting. The total is out to 222. Originally I had it at 220. Mo Harkless is going to be limited to 20 minutes. And I did have an interesting stat thanks to Terry over at Playerline Pro. He brought up a stat there that in where are we? Lillard against the Lakers in 20 games against the Lakers, he averages an extra 3.5 points per game over his career averages and an additional one assist with a 3% rise in true shooting against the Lakers. That's something to pay attention to as well. Another one of those stats that that Terry brought in there as well is that Tyler Johnson, all of his numbers on road back-to-backs go up. So that's another interesting fact about Tyler Johnson. A couple of things there from Terry at Playerline Pro. Lillard's interesting one there, though, against the Lakers. And, of course, we've got LeBron James's debut happening for Los Angeles.
LeBron James.
All right, let's talk about the DraftKings value over in this one at point guard. Lillard at 8,600. I like it more than Wall. I probably like it more than Simmons. I'm all about Lillard there. Now, if they were to start Lonzo and play him big minutes on Lillard, I'd be a little bit softer, but Rajon Rondo's a shit defender, and Lillard should be able to carve him up. CJ McCollum at 7,100. There are better ways of using that, while Sethi Curry at 38 would be your tournament flyer. Rondo's at 58. No thanks for me. Shooting guard, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 4,800 for KCP. Looks like he's going to start. He is listed as questionable, though. Regardless, I'm not going to use him. Joshy the Hitman Hart, 4,300. No KCP. I'm all about the Hitman then, if that's the case. And Evan Turner. That's an interesting one, because if Harkless is limited to 20 minutes, you might get a bit more out of Evan, but there is also Sauce Castillo. There is also Seth Curry. So I'm not really getting overly interested there, because Stauskas is at 3,100. So maybe if Harkless... Actually, no Harkless. No Stauskas, sorry. The Chief, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
4,900 for the Chief. He is the definition of a tournament type of guy, and but even then, I'm not super into it. While the future MVP, Kyle Kuzma's at 5,500. I think you'll find better options on DraftKings than Kuzma, personally. And LeBron's at 10,800. I think you just have to throw LeBron in there. He's got to be in your tournament pool. Not totally into him in cash. I'd rather get the Sixers pairing of Simmons and Embiid rather than LeBron, but we've got a high total. We have got a solidly close spread, so that probably does actually convert LeBron more into a cash sort of a player. At power forward, we've got Zachy Collins at 3,600. Who's doing the positions? He's a center. No thanks. Jake Layman, 37, also no thanks. And at center, I love Nurkic. 6,300 for Nurk. All about that. While JaVale at 45, I think that's more tournamenty, but I love Nurk going up against JaVale, who is not a good defender. And at 6,300, I think he can bring home that value. On FanDuel, Lillard again, 9,900 is strong. Nurkic at 78, the same. LeBron comes in 11-7 on FanDuel. That's a little bit of a tougher thing to stomach with a three-game slate on. It's hard to ignore LeBron, but that's probably a little bit high in that scenario. Lonzo also, I think, is priced too highly on both sides, given the likelihood that he comes off the bench. Let's wrap this up and go through our picks studs and duds for each of the sites. We'll start with DraftKings. My stud there is Lillard at 8,600. High pace game, tight spread. Love that there for Lillard. While my best value play on DraftKings is Covington at 4,700. It just seems too cheap. On FanDuel, the best stud, Embiid at 10,800. Wendell Carter Jr., good luck with that. And then my best value play is Tyler Johnson at 3,800. Thrives in road back-to-backs. No Wade, Allington, Winslow, all those guys. Dion Waiters as well. On Yahoo, my best start of the day is Embiid at $41 and the best value guy. I've got that as JaVale McGee. Happy to go with him at a minimum salary on Yahoo. That works pretty strongly over there. And then the Aussie sites, Moneyball, Joel Embiid's 11,000 as your best stud. And your best value on Moneyball is Tyler Johnson at 41. And on DraftStars, your stud is Simmons at 18,790. Good luck to Jabari Parker and Zach LaVine. And your value player is the minimum salary of Derek Jones Jr., $5,000. My best bets haven't started off the season that well. Let's go to another one here. The Wizards at -4.5 against the Heat on a back-to-back. That is the one I'm going for. Let's get back on the winners list with that one. Guys, we're done. Go and follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and subscribe. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Thumbs up, smash it, like it, subscribe, notification bell, all those things. Check out Basketball Monster. Check out the rest of the Locked On Podcast Network. Guys, my voice is going. So we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Spencer Dinwiddie.